God has a day of which he's going to pour out his wrath, his indignation. He's going to punish the world for their evil. He's going to destroy the sinners. He's going to bring down the Antichrist, the devil and his angels. He's going to conquer all these things. And we are saved to get out of here. We do not want to be around here when the wrath of God comes. He saved us that we would escape his wrath, because his wrath is coming. He said, the day of vengeance is in my heart. And so let's look at some of those scriptures before we actually, get into the details of the wrath of God. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter number 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, and just one verse there, verse number 8. We'll give you a little time to find it. Zephaniah chapter 3, amen, and verse number 8. Praise the Lord. It's right after Habakkuk, right before Haggai. All right, Zephaniah chapter 3. Oh, listen, them pages turning. All right, we'll give you a little time there. Amen. Zephaniah. All right. How many times we call Zephaniah, huh? Not Zechariah, Zephaniah. That'd be a good name for a boy, wouldn't it? Somebody said, no. Zephaniah chapter 3. All right. And verse number 8. All right, if we have it, let's read it. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now he says, all my fierce anger. I think this is probably as mad as God has ever gotten, that he says, all my fierce anger. He's going to empty himself upon this world. And of course, we should be up in heaven rejoicing and feasting our eyes on the handiwork of God. That's what we're going to be doing according to the 24th chapter of Matthew. While all these things are going on, until he summons us together to come to fight the battle of Armageddon, of which is him putting an end to man's government, destroying all of the kingdoms of man, and setting up his own kingdom here in the earth. And so his wrath and his judgment is to punish the world for their evil. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. Give us a little more information on what we're talking about. Romans chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. Praise the Lord. Romans 2, verses number 8 and 9. And this is not for us. We are not supposed to be here when these things are happening. We must make sure that we live saved. Can we say amen? And walk with God and love our brother and sister so that we can be getting out of here. Romans chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. All right, let's read. But unto them that are contentious. Now, you know what the word contentious means, argumentative. Always in debate, always fussing at someone or being, you know, things like that. Unto them that are contentious, let's read, and do not obey the truth, but obey what? Unrighteousness. What is for them? Indignation and wrath. Now that indignation and wrath is the indignation and wrath of God. If I am contentious, always getting into it with somebody, if I do not obey the truth and I am constantly obeying unrighteousness, then what waits for me? Indignation and wrath. Not only that, verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also what? the Gentiles. And of course, the next verse says, glory, honor, peace to every man that worketh good. And so that's what we want. We want glory, honor, and peace. And how do we get that? We have to work what? Good. Now, good is what God said good is. And bad is what God says bad is, or what he did not say is good. Now, the sad thing about this whole thing is that people do not believe it. And I dare say there are probably some here tonight that this is going to go through one ear and out the other. And but by the time they realize that these things are true, to many people it's going to be too late. But it's my responsibility to teach it, to warn you. As the scripture says, to be warned to flee from the wrath to come. If I obey the truth, then I escape. If I obey unrighteousness, then I set myself up for God to unleash all the anger that he has in him. Now, I don't know how much anger he has in him, but we will get into it because there's, first of all, seven seals full of judgment. Then there are seven trumpets of judgment. And then there's the seven last plagues of judgment that are found in the book of Revelation that we're going to look into. All right, so let's look at the start. Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to deal with verses 1 through 17. We're going to have a lot of reading tonight, but I believe it's going to be very interesting reading because you're going to be reading what you are going to be escaping, or what you should be escaping. Can we say amen? All right, Revelation chapter 6. Now, the church has been raptured. The glorified church has been caught up. This is the start of the tribulation period. We left off with the fifth chapter with him taking the book and him having the authority as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God, to execute punishments and judgment upon the world. Now he's about to open one of the seals. So understand then that this is the beginning. Verse number 1, let's read. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now the four beasts is represented, is symbolic of the glorified church. So one of the saints is showing him this that's going to happen. Now, this is a vision, as we told you before. And John saw this vision. He's on the Isle of Patmos, which was a prison island, where they worked the prisoners 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, with one day off. And that day off was what they called the Lord's Day, which was Sunday. And they called it the Lord's Day is because it's the day that the Lord raised from the dead. And it is on this day, while he's in his cave, getting this vision from God. And in this vision, he sees all these things. He sees himself, and he sees one of the saints that is showing him all these things. And we know that because in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, it tells us that when John went to bow down before him, he said, don't bow down before me. I am of thy fellow brethren of the saints. So one of the saints is showing him these things. And he says, come and see. Verse number 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, horse is symbolic of power. In your car, you have so many horsepower, right? So, and white means purity. So he is seeing the Antichrist come on the scene. And as the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's riding a white horse. Or in other words, he's coming on the scene as an innocent, good, righteous person. Or as Daniel said, he comes in by flatteries. So when he comes on the scene, no one's going to know he's the Antichrist because he's going to be as if he is pure. But in his purity, he's coming with some power. And that power is the power of darkness. And no one's going to know who he really is, except for two people. And that is the two witnesses spoken of in the 11th chapter of Revelation. So understand, when he opens the first seal, is the Antichrist, who's the devil manifest in flesh, coming on the scene in his innocence, in his purity, with power, claiming to be Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And as a nation, they're going to accept him. Now, who is Israel's biggest ally? United States. Israel's going to accept him. The United States is going to accept him. So the United States will be lined up, aligned, allied with the Antichrist. So you know you had no business being here at that time. Is that right? This whole nation. And it is set up for that. So when he opens that first seal, you're going to see, as we read on, he is going to be riding four horses. Now, some Bible scholars call it the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You ever seen that? Well, it's not four horsemen. It's the same person riding four different horses. And you will find that the horses change colors as time goes on, which speaks of more of him being revealed as to who he is and the effect that it has upon the earth. All right, you follow so far? All right, so he says, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Oh yes, when he comes on the scene, he's going to claim to be Israel's Messiah, and the land that they have been trying to get back ever since they lost, so that they can rebuild their temple and start their sacrifice and their worship, he's going to get it back for them. He's going to fight wars and get that land back for them and get their temple rebuilt. That's why he comes with power, because the Bible says he's going to accomplish what others could never accomplish for Israel. And this is why they're going to think that he is their Messiah, that he is the Jesus that they've been waiting for all this time, because he's going to come and accomplish things that no other Israelite was ever able to accomplish. And this is why he comes with a bow, and a crown was given unto him, which means that he will have the power to rule and to dominate and to conquer and be successful. And everybody's going to look at him as a hero, but he will be the devil manifest in flesh. All right, that's the first seal. Let's look at the second one, verse number 3. Are we in verse 3? All right. We're in verse 3? All right, let's read. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Red represents bloodshed. So as the Antichrist increases in power, he goes from looking pure and innocent, now he is causing bloodshed. And it said, "and which resembles him with a red horse. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." At this time, there will be no peace in the earth. None whatsoever. Now you think it's bad now. Can we say amen? When he morphs into the red horse, when he starts exhibiting what the scripture describes as a red horse, there will be no peace anywhere on the earth. Now this is just the second seal. Not only no peace, they're going to take peace from the earth, that they should do what? Kill one another. And there was given unto him a what? Great sword. That is, he will have the power to influence folk in the earth to be killing one another. You think killing is bad now? This is nothing that's going to be happening in that time. That's just the second one. Verse number 5. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. This is famine. Black represents famine. Let's read. And he that had sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the what? So there will be famine. Now, no peace in the earth. People killing one another. Now there's famine. A lack of food. Now, I was reading an article just yesterday in Mexico, New Mexico. They have an epidemic. They basically have ran out of water. Ran out of water. They still have some. They're not allowed to wash their cars. They're not allowed to water their gardens. They're not allowed. There are some parts that haven't had water in weeks. Can you imagine going through one day without water? Can't flush the toilet. Can't wash up. Can't brush it. No water. And they said it's going to get worse. Now, that's just over there. Can you imagine the whole world in that condition? What are people going to do? Well, famine. All right. Verse number 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say what? Come and see what's going to happen next. Verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the what? Beasts of the earth. So now, first of all, the Antichrist is conquering. Then the peace is taken from the earth. They're killing one another. There's famine in the earth, to where food has to be rationed and water has to be rationed. And now we have death, the fourth beast with the represents the pale horse, which represents death and hell. Power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. Number two, hunger. Number three, with death. And with the beasts of the earth. Now, the city that has an epidemic that I've read some time ago of rats is Philadelphia. We're not talking about mice. We're talking about rats. And they are getting bigger and bigger. Now, why do mice get in houses? What are they looking for? Food. Can you imagine the beasts of the earth causing death? Because there's no food, there's nothing to eat, lack of water, and these animals and rodents in this world are going to go crazy in homes and in every place where they can get at. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what's going to happen. Now, this is only the fourth seal. You still got three more to go. And then you still got seven trumpets to go and seven last plagues to go. Now, who in the world in their right mind would have a problem living right to escape this? Can we say amen? You know, can you imagine? You just think about any kind of animal that you can think of. And, of course, they're not going to have any control over in the zoos. You can forget that. You think about all the animals in the zoos. Think about all the rodents that are all. You ever seen that movie The Birds with Alfred Hitchcock? Did you know that Alfred Hitchcock was hitting on Tippi Hedren and she wouldn't respond to his advances? And you remember that scene when she was in the phone booth and those birds? He intentionally did that, had those birds attack her. That was, when you saw that, that was real. And he basically destroyed her career. That was Melanie Griffith's mother, if you know Melanie Griffith. Tippi Hedren. ruined her. I saw the documentary on it. When she was dealing with those birds, Hitchcock did it on purpose. And when you saw all that was real. When you saw that blood, that was real. Now, can you imagine? You think about all the fowls of the air. Sometime me and my wife driving, and we marvel at the eagles that we see. Black crows. We didn't have crows like that in Jackson where we grew up. They were small. But you see how big these crows are? You can go out jogging if you want to. You'll be sprinting. Can we say amen? You think about all of the, you just think about it. You know. And if you got a pet, you better not miss the rapture. And my daughter has a very sweet dog named Kobe. And Jonica has one named Max. My son Aaron got three. He better make the rapture. Because all the domestic animals will become undomestic. Because when animals are hungry, it's like that Bugs Bunny commercial when they looked at, when Donald Duck looked at, or when Elmer Fudd looked at Donald Duck and he saw him as a duck that has been roasting, and that's how the dogs are going to be looking at you. Not you, because you're going to be in the rapture with me, aren't you? Bats. My sister had 300 bats in her apartment one time. And going to call me. I said, call the Batman to get him out of there. Well, she was, one of my sisters, she was fooling around with the tarot readers. And I told her to stop doing that. And then she eventually stopped. I had to go in there and cast the devil out. And I had to go there twice. So, saints, this is serious, isn't it? All right. Let's read verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, there are some saints being persecuted right now. I got some videos I can show you. It's terrible. It is. I cannot show you these videos that Bishop Paul sent me about what some of the saints are going through over there in India. It is horrible. Horrible. But God, this is part of his anger that he has stored up in him. He's going to avenge them. When Philip asked me, he said, did you have any problems getting through security? I said, no. He said, well, I had an incident. I said, what was the incident? He said, when I went to go through security, a military guy was checking out my passport, because they have to check it before you go through. And he said, why did you come to this country? And he said, for humanitarian purposes, because that's what you're supposed to say, tourism, humanitarian purposes. He said, what do you do in the United States? He said, I'm a minister. And he had his passport. He says, we don't like y'all Americans coming over here. Bringing your politics over here. We hate you all. He said, man, I'm not that type of minister. Give me my passport back and stamp it. I said, that's Raider Johnson in here right there. And he gave it back to him and he went on his way. See, there's persecution going on out there. You know. All right, let's read verse number 10. We ain't gonna finish this tonight. I got too many scriptures. Let's read verse 10. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, these are the ones that have been martyred. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be what? Fulfilled. Now, during this time, this is the first half of the tribulation period. There's going to be four groups of people that will be saved. They will not be getting baptized in Jesus' name filled with the Holy Ghost. They have to give their lives to be saved. So they will be killed. And these are some of those that were killed that were caught up. And they're saying, how long are you going to avenge our blood? And he lets them know, you're going to be avenged, but there's some other of your brethren that have to be killed first. So once all of the groups are caught up, as they get to the middle of the tribulation period, to the end, which is the great day of his wrath, that's when he's really going to pour out his judgment, because he's not only going to be punishing the world for their evil, but he's going to be avenging the blood of those saints of God that were killed because of their faith in him. All right, let's pick it up in verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, this is the first earthquake now, I believe. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, they like to talk about these blood moons. You ever heard about that? That's nothing. That's nothing compared to this. The blood moons is a natural phenomenal occurrence. When the moon turns black here, that's because God turned it black, or blood. The sun became black. Now, can you imagine how dark it's going to be? And I want you to know that in the earth, there won't be any street lights. None of that. It's going to be dark all of the time. And we'll show you that. We'll get to that scripture when we get to the last half in the 16th chapter of Revelation. All right. So he says, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a what? Mighty wind. Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now the heavens rolled back a scroll. You look at the sky. You think about a scroll. Well, remember when you were in school and you had assembly? I think that's what we used to call assembly. You went to the auditorium, they had the curtain there, and the curtain rolled back, right? That's how the heavens are going to be. You look up in the sky, that's going to roll back, and people are going to be able to see behind the sky. You know who they're going to see? They're going to see Jesus. They're going to see him. And this is their response. Verse 15, let's read. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman that is a prisoner and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand, or who shall be able to survive? They're going to see God. How many people say, well, if God really exists, let him show himself? He will. And this is the response that they're going to have. All right? Running. Now, that's the sixth seal. Let's go to chapter 8. Verse 1 through 13, so we can pick up the seventh seal. The seventh seal is going to unlock the seven trumpets. Now, this is pretty bad already, is it? People killing one another, no peace anywhere, famine, no water, famine, no food, people killing with the sword, that is with weapons. Weapons. That's bad now with weapons, right? Weapons. Hunger. People dying because they're starving to death. Beasts of the earth. The sun turns black. The moon turns red as blood. And the heavens roll back and they see God as Jesus Christ on the throne. And he's coming for him. He's coming for him. That's something, isn't it? Why do you think I don't care about folk talk about me? Or folk do me right, you know, okay, fine. You know, I'm getting out of here. How about y'all? Amen. Now, this is only six seals. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 1 through 13. All right. See, don't put too much stock on what folk when folk do you wrong. Is that right? Just brush it on off. Do it like Jesus. Just brush it on off, right? Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal. Okay, now the first six seals was the first 3.5 years. There were four groups of people that were saved. Now we're going to, he's opened up the seventh trumpet, which begins the last half. The last half, nobody's going to be saved. If they didn't make it then, they're not going to make it now. All right? Let's read. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now, we don't know if this is an actual half hour. The Bible doesn't say because the book of Revelation is symbolic, but you can safely say silence for a very short period of time. Verse number 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel, now I want you to know that these are not actual trumpets. The trumpets represents the wrath of God. Whatever he says he pronounces to happen at that time is him sounding that trumpet. Can we say amen? All right, so understand that. Don't think there's actual horns, but the trumpet has to do with the pronouncements of his wrath that brings about the conditions in the earth. All right, so another angel came and stood at the altar. Where are we at? Verse 3, let's read. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. It was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So I told you, God is bottling up all of our prayers. Every prayer we pray in the spirit, he's got a record of it. And he's going to reward us for that. Verse number 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. See, remember we told you that God deals in patterns. And what is in the earth in relative to the church, there's a likeness of it in heaven. Now, it is not the same as it is down here because everything in heaven is of heavenly substances. But God deals with patterns. And this is why he mentions this. Just like there's an altar down here, there's an altar up there. But the altar up there is not the same as it is down here. We don't know what it's like because it's in heaven. Can we say amen? All right, in the vision. So the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, cast into the earth, the tree. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and what? Now this is the second earthquake. Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was what? Now, I'm not thinking that the hail is filled with blood and fire. But what you have to understand is that the hail with fire is mingled with blood because it is causing bloodshed. All right? And of course, this hail weighs 110 pounds, as we will read later on. Now, we just had our roof repaired because we had a hailstorm back in July. And many of the houses in our neighborhood had to get new roofs. We were part of that because of the hail. And the hail that fell was like the size of marbles. And of course, when we went to St. Louis convention, we followed into a hailstorm. And we had some damage done to our vehicle. One of the vehicles was damaged. It was almost $20,000 worth of damage. I think it was, it might have been about $12,000, something like that. And that was hail that was like the size of marbles. Can you imagine hail falling, weighing the weight of a talent, the Bible says? Talent, and we're not talking about just one that comes crashing down. We're talking about hailstorms of which the hail weighs 110 pounds. That's a talent. All right? And it caused not only fire, but it causes what? Bloodshed. Perhaps it's hitting the power lines and the power lines are falling and it's causing fires and all this kinds of stuff. All right? Hail and fire mingle with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was what? Burnt up. Now that's the first trumpet. Second trumpet, verse 8. Second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. All right. Verse 9. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So now the waters turned to blood. Sea, of course, we got seven seas, right? I think there's seven seas, isn't there? And this is one of them that's turned to blood, all right, by this great mountain that is burning with fire. Now, I don't know if this is a volcano eruption. I have no idea, but this is what the Bible says will happen. The third seal, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the, now this is the fresh waters. What fresh waters is left? Fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were what? Wormwood is very bitter. If you drink it, it will kill you in a short period of time. Now, of course, they're drinking it because they're desperate. Right? Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night what? So what's the third part of 24 hours? Is it 8 hours? 8 hours it was night, 8 hours day, constantly back and forth. No kind of stability whatsoever. Dark before you know it, daylight before you know it, dark before you know it, daylight. The Bible says it shone not for a third part of it, and the night what? Likewise. Verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are what? Yet to sound. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 1. Fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the what? Now this star is a him. This is an angel, because in some scriptures, the angels are referred to as stars, because stars are heavenly substances, in this case, heavenly beings, and this would be an angel. So now this angel comes from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You know what this is? This is the lake of fire. The lake of fire. And the lake of fire, according to your Bible, will be in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is where the Garden of Eden was. It was where the Tower of Babel was built. It is where Abraham was called out of. I believe we flew over that on our way to Pakistan. And I told my son when he's teaching a class, it would be a good lesson for him to teach on the lake of fire, because in Pakistan, they're not too far from where this is going to happen. The lake of fire is not some planet way out there in space. It is in the earth. And of course, in Job chapter number 28, verse number 5, it lets you know that Job had the knowledge that in the core of the earth is fire. And so God's going to send this angel. He's going to have that key. He's going to open that bottomless pit that's over there somewhere in the Middle East. And that pit is so hot that it's going to darken the sun 96 million miles away. That portion of the sun that's still shining, what have you, is going to darken and darken the sky. This is the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It is in the earth. Now, excavators have discovered that the further you go down into the earth, the hotter it gets, because in the core of the earth is fire. Now, why is it called a bottomless pit? I have no idea, but that's what the Bible calls it. All right? So he opens up the lake of fire. So there's nobody in the lake of fire now, because it's not even opened yet. It won't be open till the last half of the tribulation period. Why? Because the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be the first one cast in there. We'll read that if we get to it. But I want you to know there ain't nobody in hell. Well, somebody says, what about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? That was a parable. Well, Jesus called the name of a person, and that means it's not a parable. Where in your Bible does it say because he called the name of the person that it's not a parable? That's something that somebody made up. That was a parable to illustrate how selfish Israel was by giving a story concerning how selfish the rich man was. See, parables are told to make a point. The details are not important. It's the point that the Lord is trying to make, because a lot of cases the details don't make any sense. And so the point of that parable was, don't be selfish like the rich man, because this is where you're going to wind up. Can we say amen? That was the point of the parable. But the lake of fire, there's nobody in there now, because the angel hasn't come and opened it up yet. But when the fifth trumpet is sounded, he comes and opens up that pit. All right? Let's read on, verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, if you ever been bitten by a scorpion, has anybody been bitten by a scorpion? Scorpions are some ugly looking insects, aren't they? Well, if you get bit by a scorpion, it is said is as if somebody has poured gasoline on you and lit you. They said the scorpion sting is like fire inside your body. All right? So these locusts that come out of the smoke, all right, was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them, now, the reason why it says only those that have not the seal of God in their foreheads is because Israel, a portion of Israel will still be on the earth, but they will be protected by God during this last 3.5 years, all right? And they come out after everything is done function in the millennial reign. So God will still have a portion of Israel that will be left in the earth, that he will protect them from all these things. All right? And that's in the 12th chapter of Revelation. We don't have time. Read that. So this is why he says, only hurt those that have not the seal of God in their foreheads, because the remnant of Israel will have that seal. All right? Verse number 5. And to them, to the scorpions, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, which he, when he what? Striketh a man. Now look at this, verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, how does a man die, a woman die? Heart attack? No, because there's been a lot of people that had heart attack. Bullet in the head? No, because there's been people that have been shot in the head. I read an article where a woman was shot in the head and stumbled into her car and drove to the emergency room, and they saved her, and she was able to identify the shooter, and they convicted and put him in prison. The Bible says the body without the spirit is what? Dead. When a person dies, it's because God takes the spirit out of them. For 5 months, God is not going to let anybody die so that they can suffer his wrath. He will refuse to take the spirit out of anybody. That means then that a person can go and hang on the top of that cross that Dr. Forey had put up there, jump down head first, and all they will be is just laying there like a smithering mass of jelly, just shaking. They will not be able to die for 5 months. Isn't that something? The Bible says death shall what? Flee from them. A person can take a gun and fill their head full of holes. If God said you ain't going to die, what? You're not going to die. They can set themselves on fire. All they're going to do is add to their torment. Now, how many of y'all say you want to be here? Raise your hand. Let me see. Let me see. Well, stop acting like you're going to be here. Can we say amen? Stop acting like it. Stop acting like you want to be here. Who are you talking about? You that's doing it? All right. I had to jab you there trying to get your attention. All right. Verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions. Now, I've been through the whole Bible to try to find out what this is. The Bible does not tell us what this is. So I don't know what it is. Some people say it's tanks, and I have no idea. But we will find out as I'm looking down from heaven. Can we say amen? Because I ain't going to be down here to see. But I went through the whole Bible. I do not know what this is. The Bible does not, as far as my knowledge of going through every scripture, I don't know what this is. But I do know it's something that I don't want to deal with. Can we say amen? Verse number 9, is it? 9, let's read. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to what? So I won't imagine that these are those little bitty locusts, right? I won't imagine that. If they got hair like women, teeth like lion, face as a man, breastplates, tails like scorpions, that comes out of the smoke when he opens the bottomless pit. Who in the world want to see that? Who in the world want to face that in their right mind? Well, verse 10, they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men what? and they won't be able to die. Verse 11. Oh, Lord, now they got a king over them? They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. You know what that means? Destroyer. Destroyer. Verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. That's 200 million. I don't know what these things are. 200 million. And what are they going to do? Barbecue? Oh, no. They coming. Is that right? Verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire. Now keep in mind, these are not actual horses. He is seeing the power of the forces of these things that are happening on the earth. All right. Sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, I think this might be two-thirds of the people now. All right, let's read on, verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Again, some people say that these are tanks. I don't know what they are. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor what? Walk. Neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries nor of their fornication nor their what? These people are crazy. And you have people like this in this world that we are around and don't even know it. And if you don't have enough sense, these folk are demon-possessed. You have to conclude that they're demon-possessed. Some people are just demon-possessed. Because to go through all this and don't have enough sense to repent, can we say amen? Well, it's the same thing today. Some folk don't have enough sense to repent today. Saints, people don't believe this, but it's going to happen. And they'll find out, as it was in the days of Noah, shall it be in the what? In the days of the coming of the Son of Man. All right. So this is this the sixth trumpet? Yeah, this is the sixth trumpet. Let's go to the seventh one. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 15. See, it's here a little and there a little. It's not all in one area. So we had to jump around, give it to you in order. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 through 19. All right. Now, of course, he looses the angel of the great river Euphrates so that river can dry up because that's where the battle is going to take place. Verse 15, let's read. Seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, which is his church, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and art to come. because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy what? The earth. Verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake. Now this is the third earthquake. And great what? Great hail. Isn't that something? That happens when the seventh angel sounds the seventh trumpet. All right, that's chapter 11, verse number 15 through 19. Now, of course, let us go to the 16th chapter, because what's going to take place is, or not chapter, let's go to chapter 15. Let me see. Chapter 15, verse 1. So that ended the seven trumpets. Chapter 15 and verse number 1. All right. And then we're going to go to chapter 16 and deal with that entire chapter. We just might finish tonight. All right, let's read 15 and 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up. So we got seven more. It's bad enough, isn't it? Somebody said them rats and stuff getting at me is bad enough. That was just the beginning. All right, chapter 16, verse number 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God. I thought they was already pouring out the wrath. This is some more wrath. Verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship what? His image. See, all these folk that are left were took the mark of the beast. All right. Verse 3. Now, the Antichrist is there going through this too. Understand that. All right. And at some point, the devil has been kicked out of heaven and he's down on the earth, the devil and all of his angels. We read that last Wednesday, right? How he's going to be expelled out of heaven by Michael and the angels, and they're going to be down here in the earth, earthbound. Can we say amen? All right, so they're all down here. So you got this noisome, grievous sore upon the men which have the mark of the beast and upon them which worship his image. Verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died. Now this is all the seas now. All the seas are messed up. Stagnant blood as a dead man. When a man's blood becomes stagnant, that means it becomes like a jail. That's when it's stagnant. It's no longer running. It's becomes like a jail, and I believe it turns black. So can you imagine the seas out there turning to the stagnant blood of a dead man, turned to like jail and is discolored. So now all of the seas, this is it. Let's read verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became what? Now there is no fresh water in the earth. It's all gone. All right. And we still got a ways to go. Verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus or in this manner. Verse 6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy what? Judgments. Now, does this sound like a loving and caring God? Oh, no. He's unleashing all of his anger. All right. Verse number 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, that they repented not, give him glory. So men were scorched with great heat. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 26, we won't go there. It lets you know that the sun will be heated 7 times hotter for 7 days. So you think about it. There won't be no folk walking around outside, because if they do, boom, they're going to burn up just like that. Now, you think about it. In Pakistan, it can get in the summertime up to 120 degrees. What's 100 times 7? 840? Praise the Lord. Can't survive. Well, let's take 32 degrees. Was 32 times 7? 215 degrees? 224? You think you can survive at 224? No. I was going to talk about hair, but I'm going to leave that alone. But can you imagine? The Bible says men were scorched with what? Great heat. Now, a person can lay out in the sun and get burned, right? And they have to use what? Suntan lotion? Because if their skin gets burnt, it starts what? Peeling and wrinkling and all that kind is turning red and everything. How about if it's 210, 224 degrees outside? For 7 days. Well, I'll just turn on my air conditioner. Ain't no power. The hailstones done destroyed all that. Well, you know, and it gets so hot. And what do you want when it gets so hot? You want some water. You turn on the faucet and the stagnant blood of a dead man. And there's a rat looking right at you. Can you imagine that? Now, I know I'm being a little comical with it, but it really ain't funny, is it? Because this is something that's going to happen. God has given us an opportunity to escape all of this. Can we say amen? All I got to do is walk before him, take some trials here and there, endure some suffering here and there, and I escape all this. Can we say amen? I saw an article that they said that bottled water is the biggest ripoff there ever is. Because they were saying that in the plastic of the bottled water, that when they test the bottled water, there's particles in the water that you can't even see. I pray extra hard now over my bottled water. Who brought me this water? This is going to be terrible, y'all. See, we laughing about it because we ain't going to be here, right? Don't be here. Because if you here, you're going to be thinking about all the times you was laughing. Can we say amen? All right, where are we at? I'm talking too much. We need to finish it up. We in verse 10? Yeah, this is going to be terrible. Verse number 10, let's read. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Oh, yeah, see, he's going to get him also. Verse 11, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains, of their sores, and They didn't have enough sense to repent, did they? Verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be repaired. Now, the river Euphrates, they say it's drying up right now. It's drying up. And at this time, it's going to be completely dried, because that's where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. All right, verse 13. Now, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist, and the false prophet is a multitude of people that was handling the ministry of the Antichrist. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working. I told you the devil can work a miracle. Every miracle that happens is not from God. Can we say amen? The devil can work some miracles. I told you, he's a master imitator. A lot of these people think that God healed them and God worked this miracle for them and they ain't living nothing. All of that ain't divine healing. Some of it is devil healing. But you see how it is in the world today. Everything miraculous and sensational, they associate it with God. It is not God. Most, a lot of it is the devil. But they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of woe. So all the nations are going to gather together to try to fight against God. All right. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they what? What is my garments? My life. Keeping my life clean. Lest I walk naked and they see my shame. How would I be naked? By not living clean. And my shame would be that I am here when folk knew that I was saved. Can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine somebody say, what are you doing here? All that preaching you did to me. All the time you stepped on my toes. Well, verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, which means the Mount of Slaughter, because God is going to slaughter all these nations and put an end to man's government. Verse 17. And what we know government is corrupt, right? Now, Mitch McConnell just endorsed Donald Trump. Just a few years ago, he was saying he's responsible for the insurrection. And all these Republicans, these folk that died in that insurrection, all these Republicans, that's why God's coming to get them. He's coming for them. He's coming for them. Is that right? He's coming for all of them. Republicans, Democrats, all sinners. Ain't none of them saved. Well, verse number 17. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, what? It is done. Verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake so great. Now you think about earthquake. Earthquake splits grounds. It brings down mountains. Buildings, could you imagine a level of destruction that's going to be happening in this world? This is like the fourth one, I believe. Verse 19. The great city was divided into three parts. That's all right. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That's the false church. That's the false church. The false church is called Babylon because Babylon is where all false doctrine began. False worship began. Well, you can trace it back to Cain, because Cain was the very first one to exhibit false worship, because he brought to God what he wanted to bring rather than what God said to bring. So it started with Cain. All right. Verse 20. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of 110 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was what? Exceeding great. Can we say amen? That's chapter 16. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at Armageddon. I guess we will finish. If you give me a few more minutes. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 21. This is the battle of Armageddon. All right. When he comes into the earth. And his feet stands upon the Mount of Olives. And that mountain drops down into the form of a letter L in a valley that's 200 miles long and a quarter of a mile wide, according to your Bible. We didn't have time to read it. And this begins the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 11. Let's read. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge. Who is that? What's his name? That's Jesus coming in his power and his purity, the white horse. Verse 13, verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he. Well, the church knows. We know what that name is. Let's read the next verse. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. That's the glorified church. We have taken on a new dimension now. We are the armies of heaven. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, when we are out there feasting our eyes on the handiworks of God, the Bible says he's going to gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. That's us. Because all this that's going to be going on, we're going to be out there enjoying what God has for us. And he's going to summon us all together to come back to fight the Battle of Armageddon. And it's not going to be much of a fight, because in Zechariah 14, the Bible says he's going to speak the word, and their eyes are going to consume away in their sockets. Their tongues are going to consume away in their mouths. Their flesh is going to consume away on their bones. Just like that. All of the nations of the world. All right. Let's read on, verse number 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the. That's when he speaks the word, and it's going to happen. All right? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of who? Now, when you tread a winepress, they put the grapes out there, and they trample on them with their feet. That's how they used to do it back then. Well, that's what he's doing with the inhabitants of the earth. It's like him treading the wine press. All right. Verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings. And what? Lord of Lords. How much? Okay. Verse 21. Are we 21? Let's read verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. Isn't that something? And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both what? Now you know they're going to eat, because they ain't never ain't been no food. Can we say amen? Verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Verse 20. And the beast, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought what? Miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with what? Brimstone. Now, the devil is incarnate in the Antichrist, but at this time he steps out of that body, and the Antichrist is cast in a lake of fire. But the devil doesn't get away, because in the 20th chapter it lets you know that God binds him and puts him in the bottomless pit, and he's bound there for 1,000 years. Verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled, what? With their flesh. Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel 39. Let's read more about what Michael Sipko, who had a church in Detroit, called this supper. He called it goulash. He was a Russian pastor that had like 12 different nationalities in his church. Ezekiel 39, verse 17 through 20. Ezekiel saw it also, and he prophesied about it. I guess we will finish, because we got one more scripture after this. We have to end on a positive note. We don't want to end on the rats eating up folk. Can we say amen? All right. Ezekiel 39, 17 through 20. All right. Let's read. Okay. Is everybody there? Let's read. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice for the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. This is the battle after the battle of Armageddon. All right, this is the results of the battle of Armageddon. Verse 18, ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. Ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I sacrifice for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, mighty men, and with all men of war. Ezekiel prophesied about it too. The wrath of God that is to come. Isn't that something? Last scripture, Luke chapter 21. I'm pray for you that you won't have no nightmares tonight. Have some dreams of making the rapture. 21, Luke 21, 36. Just one verse. This is Jesus' message to us tonight. The Lord is talking to you tonight. This is what he is saying to us, saints. Luke 21, 36. Let's read. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before. Keep in mind, God has no intention of any of you going through this. But if I do go through it, it's because it's my fault. And I'm going through it without, it was not his will. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all what? He wants everybody. The Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. The wrath that is to come. Give me say amen. God bless you tonight. Have a smile upon you. God bless you. This is why I do all that I can for the saints. Because I want you to make it. You ain't never bothered me. Say amen. If you need your pastor, you're not bothering me. Because I want you to escape. Can we say amen? I cannot afford to say I ain't talking to you when you need me and put you at risk. Because God's going to get me. And it ain't worth it, is it? Are there any questions tonight? Yes? By not being here. If you were left here, yep. Yes, sir.
Yes, there is a open burning, forest burning in the western part of Ethiopia. You're probably aware of.
Yeah.
It's open and it's constantly burning.
There's also a place on the earth where the water is constantly hot boiling. There are places in the earth like this, like he's speaking of, you know, but that ain't what is coming. Can we say amen? Yeah. Yes. Exactly right. That's true. That's true. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Well, we are the word tonight, didn't we? Amen. It should be give us more determination. And to thank God for this great salvation as we take our offering. The great salvation and opportunity he's given us to be saved. God bless you tonight. Thank you for your patience. I know we went a little over, but we got through it. Plan it, give us more of a determination to do your will.